This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Billy Stats here with Fox Sports Knoxville, and I'm here to tell you DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $150 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win the next game, and if they do, you will claim $150 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Quitting time on your Wednesday, 5 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. Russ LeBaire back with you. Live this afternoon, Old Ben Franklin Motors in West Knoxville. Come on down. They'll slash $500 off the price of any car for just 5 minutes of your time. Right here, 9711 Kingston Pike, across from Franklin Square. Let's go back to the studio. Jake Miller standing by with the top five at five. Jake?
Number one, Tennessee baseball commit Ryan Spikes will not make it to Knoxville to play for the Vols. Spikes signed a deal this morning, officially making him a Tampa Bay Ray.
All right, we can cross him off the list. Have you guys seen what's going on with Kumar Rocker?
Yes, that is number four.
Yeah. I guess the Mets are trying to give him a smaller bonus, saying something's structurally wrong with his elbow.
Yeah, they're jerking him around on his contract, and there's some thought that he could potentially walk and come back to Vanderbilt next year.
Oh, God, no.
I know, right?
I was ready to see the ass end of Kumar Rocker. We don't need him back at Vanderbilt.
No, that would not. Come on, Mets. Don't screw around with this young man. Pay him his money.
I mean, what do you guys expect from, you know, I mean, if you're the Duke of Granger's favorite baseball team, just an outrage.
Wow. Unsolicited cheap shot this afternoon.
I've known to do it from time to time.
Well, that was number two. You all took it right out of my mouth. Former Vandy boy, Kumar Rocker, now has his MLB future in jeopardy with the New York Mets after questions have been brought up about the condition of his elbow.
It's almost reminiscent of the R.A. Dickey thing, right? Remember when he came out of the Rangers?
Yeah, but they figured out he didn't have a ligament or something, didn't they?
Yeah. And didn't slow him down any. But I think it ended up costing him a bunch of money on that first contract.
No.
Hope the guy's okay, first and foremost. Even if he is a Vandy boy, we hope he's okay. But he needs to stop being a Vandy boy and just go be a Met.
And number three, number one overall recruit Quinn Ewers tells Yahoo Sports he's leaning towards skipping his senior year of high school and attending Ohio State. Ewers could earn NIL deals worth nearly seven figures, which aren't allowed in Texas for high school players.
This is a quarterback, right?
He is, yes.
He's got a hell of a mullet.
He would skip his senior year of high school to go play. I don't like that, man. Go play high school football. What are you doing?
I just can't see a high school kid. I mean, it's one thing in basketball. It's a whole other thing in football.
Yeah, I don't know. I hope he does not. Does Ohio State even want him to do that? Who's their they've got a QB coming back, don't they? I mean, I'm sure they've got some five-star ready to roll. Well,
I'm not sure who was next up.
Mm-hmm. We'll see, man. We will see what happens with that. But that's very interesting that he's thinking about coming out already.
And number four, Lamar Jackson has tested positive for COVID-19, sidelining the quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens' first practice of training camp on Wednesday. It marks the second time that the former MVP has tested positive for the coronavirus in the past 8 months.
Man, got maybe it. Maybe I think about getting that vaccine, Lamar. That's all I'm saying.
Does he not have it?
I don't know. I wouldn't think so if he's getting it again.
I had it twice.
Really?
Yeah.
And you finally got vaccinated?
Oh, the vaccine wasn't available by the time second time rolled around.
Really? You had it twice before the vaccine came out?
Yeah. It was not
How the hell did you pull that off?
I don't know. It was not a fun experience.
Jake Miller, known doorknob licker. Well, you should be. So you've had it twice and you've had the vaccine. You should be the most immune of all of us, right? Theoretically.
Should be.
You have any, I mean, do you have any like those long symptoms? I mean, you got your smell and taste back?
It took the second time, it took about a month to get my taste back. And my brain's pretty much fried at this point, I'm pretty sure. So, yeah.
That explains a lot.
Your brain is fried?
I'm just putting words out there. Shout out to Dr. Bear.
You got the brain fog, don't you?
This is true.
Yeah.
And number five, authorities in Sri Lanka said workers in a man's backyard made a stunning discovery. The world's largest star sapphire cluster. The cluster weighs in at about 1,124 pounds or 2.5 million carats. Experts said the cluster could be worth up to $100 million on the international market.
Oh, why can't we find something like that in the backyard, Dubs?
I don't know. I'm going to go get the shovel and metal detector as soon as I get home tonight.
It's not going to help you with the sapphire.
Good for him, I guess.
Scope my family's farm and start digging. We got a John Deere. We can pull something out.
Oh, man. That is a fantastic find. Thank you, Jake Miller. That is the top five at five this afternoon, brought to you by our friends right here at Old Ben Franklin Motors. And, oh, man, if you are in the market for a new car, well, the market is booming right now, my friends. Whether you want something brand new or you need a pre-owned vehicle, Old Ben Franklin Motors has something to fit your needs and your budget. Come test drive the brand new 2021s. They got the 2022 Outlander, man. A miracle, a modern miracle on wheels. You guys got to come see this thing. If you're looking for something new, we've got the Mirage, we've got the Eclipse, we've got the Outlander for you here. If you're looking for a used truck, car, van, SUV, they've got you set up here this afternoon. The truck selection is pretty phenomenal, if I do say so myself, this afternoon here at Old Ben Franklin Motors. And they will help you out, man. As always, they make it easy to get the car loan you need. No credit, no problem here at Old Ben. They own the bank, and they will work with you to secure a no-credit car loan if your situation demands it. Shop the inventory online right now at oldbenfranklinmotors.com, or you just swing by 9711 Kingston Pike right across from Franklin Square. Old Ben Franklin Motors. We're here for another 60 minutes or so if you want to jump in. Lines available for you, 865-546-8200. Your number, we're going open lines the rest of the way here, 546-8200. Let's go start with John this afternoon. Hello, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, doing well. How are you, man?
All right. You guys were talking about yesterday about swimming in the Olympics. And I was watching swimming today in the Olympics, and I was a little bored, and I thought, well, I'll just figure it out. So I was watching the women's freestyle, which is the fastest stroke, and they were doing about 1.59 meters per second. So I multiplied that by 60, multiplied that by 60. That was about 5,700 meters in an hour, and that was about 3.55 miles per hour.
They're swimming at 3.5 miles per hour?
About 3.5 miles per hour. Like I said, that was women. That was, you know, men probably being just a little bit faster, but, you know, not 7 or 10 miles an hour, I don't think.
Oh, it's got to be faster than that, right, Bear?
No.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. That's the math. I was going off their stats. They were saying, you know, one point, like I said, the entire race, it was 200 meters each, and all the girls were averaging about 1.59 meters per second.
1.59 meters per second. Now, you know, math is not my strong suit to begin with, but when we're mixing the metric system with miles, I'm totally lost.
Okay. Yeah, well, all you got to do on that is just go Google and, you know, convert. It was 5,724 or something like, convert 5,724 meters to miles.
Yeah. I mean, I did Google this yesterday, and I thought I saw her there swimming upwards of, you know, 20 miles per hour, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just that was the math I did. I may be completely wrong. I don't know. That's what I figured out today. All right.
I'm sure the fact check. Thank you, John. Appreciate it. I'm sure the fact checkers in the Fan Run audience right now. I mean, where's Nate Hodges when you need him? See, I'll tell you where I'm at the point mathematically, Bear. I'm at the point where I don't do this anymore, right? When people start talking about these complex equations, I'm just like, yeah, somebody else has got this. Not me. Not me. I mean, I'm sure, like, gun to my head, you give me a notebook, a piece of paper, I could find those equations in the deep recesses of my mind. I could probably work it out, but it wouldn't be pretty, man. It would not be pretty. It would be a train wreck of just pure dumbassery.
Man, you definitely have to take off your shoes and socks if you're down.
Get comfortable.
Yeah.
Really lean into it mentally.
Yeah.
There's no way that's right. 3 miles per hour? I mean, you walk faster than that, right?
No, that is correct. And the fastest that Michael Phelps ever got was 6 miles per hour.
What?
Fun fact, River Bailey just looked it up.
6 miles per hour.
Yep.
River Bailey. Swimming?
The river's in the house today?
I have recruited one the river.
Well, that's fantastic. Shout out to River Bailey this afternoon. I'm stunned, Bear. I thought that surely you'd swim over 10 miles per hour.
That's what I thought. I mean, I thought an Olympian would.
What an inefficient mode of transportation.
Totally.
Yeah, what's up, boys? They say that the average speed is 2 miles an hour.
Shocking. I'm absolutely stunned. Blown away. Now, Bear, did you know, I think I'm right on this. I hope I'm not about to embarrass myself further, but I thought people could swim 20 miles an hour, so hey, we're already here. Did you know that freestyle, right? It's, everybody knows what we're talking about, freestyle, the stroke, right? Where you're kind of just with your arms and legs, how that looks.
Yeah.
Did you know that is, when you swim the freestyle, that is literally your choice. You could swim backstroke or breaststroke in freestyle, right? That's just, you get to choose what stroke you run. It's freestyle. You do whatever you want. You swim however you want. You could doggy paddle if you want, but that's just that particular stroke. I don't know what it's technically called, has been universally agreed upon as the fastest method of swimming.
Huh. Interesting.
How about that?
So if it says freestyle, you could swim whatever you want.
Yeah, you could swim breaststroke.
Yeah, but you're not going to beat somebody.
No.
Like that.
No, you would think not. So this has been swimming with the drive this afternoon. We hope it's been as informative for you as it has been for us. People are watching the Olympics, evidently, man. It's funny. I was looking at the ratings earlier today, and it said, so far, NBC's primetime telecasts has averaged between 16 and 18 million viewers per night, which I'm thinking, hey, that's pretty good, right? I mean, that's, you know, 20 million people, I think, is roughly the average NFL audience. So 16 to 18 to watch swimming and diving and whatever, pretty good. But evidently that is a huge decline off of what the previous two Olympics have been.
Yeah, I mean, people just aren't that into it this year for whatever reason. Yeah, there's no fans in the stands. It's they're, what, 14 hours ahead of us? Just not a lot of excitement about it.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be, and that's really going to hurt for track too, right? When track and field, if they're doing all that stuff in front of an empty stadium.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's not going to be terribly exciting.
I think it affects more the indoor. The indoor sports, like, gymnastics, for instance. That's got to be weird for the gymnasts not to have the roaring crowds.
Yeah, I would think that would be distracting when you're running as fast as you can and hurtling through the air at huge speeds.
Yeah, that just seems odd to me.
Yeah, when that's happening. The stuff with the tennis. Did you see this guy, Daniil Medvedev?
No, I did not.
He's struggling so much with the suffocating heat and humidity at the tennis park for the Olympics in Tokyo. At one point, the chair umpire asked him if he could continue playing. And Medvedev responds, quote, "I can finish the match, but I can die. If I die, are you going to be responsible?"
Yeah, no. I would imagine that's the answer.
Exactly. To which the chair umpire presumably replied, no, I'm not going to be held responsible. Afterward, Medvedev said he felt, quote, "darkness in his eyes." Russians just have a way with words, don't they? Said, "I didn't know what to do to feel better. I was ready to just fall down on the court." Somehow, the second-seeded Medvedev produced a 6-2-3-6, 6-2 win over Fabio Bognini of Italy to reach the quarterfinals of the tournament. You had a Spanish player, Paula Badosa, who was less fortunate. She left the court in a wheelchair after retiring from her quarterfinal match because of heat stroke. She also
is it just absolutely scorching over there right now?
Evidently.
Huh.
Evidently. Temperatures rose to 88 degrees, but the heat index made it feel like a sizzling 99 degrees. It's pretty hot. It's been hotter, man. The players raised questions over why organizers did not grant requests earlier in the tournament from Medvedev and other players, including Novak Djokovic, the top overall seed, to move the tennis matches at the games to the evening. As Wednesday's play neared its conclusion, organizers announced that the matches would begin at 3 p.m. starting Thursday to make it easier on the players. Matches had been starting at 11 a.m. I feel like 3 p.m. is worse.
You think?
I know. I was outside earlier today doing some stuff at 11 a.m., and it wasn't that bad. When I walked in here at about 2:30, it was brutally oppressive. Yeah, I mean, I think the heat typically, here in East Tennessee anyway, peaks around 3 or 4 in the afternoon.
Yeah, and then it kind of holds going on into 6, and then, you know, it slowly starts to cool off. I didn't realize it got that hot over there.
Oh, yeah. They're dropping like flies. Djokovic says the conditions are brutal. I've played tennis professionally for 20 years now. I've never faced these kinds of conditions in my entire life on a consecutive daily basis.
Well, go play one of those places down in Kuwait or UAE or Abu Dhabi. I mean, you want to talk about falling out. I tried that on for size.
Yeah, hopefully we don't have an Olympics over there, but we're having a World Cup over there, so who knows? Shocking things happening at the Olympics this year. 865-546-8200, your number to get on with us. 546-8200, quick timeout. The drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Here on Drive Fan Run Radio, Russell Smith cruising along with you live here this afternoon at Old Ben Franklin Motors in West Knoxville for another 40 minutes or so overtime. Headed your way next right here on Fan Run Radio. Is some more breaking news on the conference expansion debate. Pete Thamel, who is on the list, reporting from Yahoo Sports this afternoon, breaking The Big 12 has sent a cease and desist letter to ESPN. The letter demands ESPN end, quote, all actions that may harm the conference and its members, and that it not communicate with the Big 12 conference's existing members or any NCAA conference regarding the Big 12 conference's members, possible conference realignment, or potential financial incentive outcomes related to possible conference realignment. So
basically, if it's bad news, they can't say anything?
Yeah, I don't know how this is going to – if this is going to work out for the Big 12, but desperate times call for desperate measures, I suppose. I mean, if you're the Big 12, I mean, essentially,
you're grasping at straws at this point, aren't you?
I don't know that they have much of a leg to stand on here. I mean, the SEC, ESPN, they're not going to stop talking about this. You know, you're just making this cease and desist towards ESPN. SEC can still anything that ESPN. Disney wants to communicate to Texas and Oklahoma can be communicated through Greg Sankey, the SEC, or pretty much anybody else, right?
Right.
This isn't going to slow that train down. It's already left the station and is barreling down the tracks full steam ahead.
Yeah, I don't see how that's going to stop it.
But I give them an A for effort, I suppose. It's the Big 12.
So desperate.
At this point, I think they would be, to me, if they want to continue to, and the Big 12 is going to go away. But if I'm those schools and whatever's left and Bowlesby and those guys, I'm probably going the Pac-10 route, the Pac-12 route, seeing if they can hook up, because the eight schools they have left are not going to – is it 14 teams in the Pac-12? Is that what they've got now?
Yes, I believe so.
You know, I'd almost go there and see if you can become the Pac-22. You're still not going to be as strong as the SEC in football. But if you have Oklahoma State and Iowa State – you know, you're going to have some opportunities there. Oregon's still pretty good. USC is, you would think, going to be back at some point. But it's almost a strength in numbers thing, right? Where you're not going to have 16 teams of the quality that you don't have 12 teams the quality of the SEC, you know, what the SEC has in 16. So get as many teams in there as you can almost. But then then you're getting into a situation where you've got too many hands in the pot and it's not financially rewarding enough, but how are you going to get teams in the playoff right now? They're just kind of, they're up against it. I'm talking about the Pac-12 as well.
I mean, it's like, you know what, I think it was Chad talking about just how poorly ran the Pac-12 has been. I mean, they've just, that guy was a complete and total idiot out there.
It is stunning to me that USC and UCLA have fallen off to the degree that they have, that they just can't get back. And I know USC is supposed to be pretty good this year, but they're not what they were.
No.
Under Pete Carroll.
No, I mean, hell, they've not really done anything since, you know, Kiffin had that one really good year when he was out there. So I don't, you know, the whole conference is completely mismanaged. You know, most of the conference has fallen off. You look how far, I mean, Arizona used to be a lot better than they are now. You know, maybe they could, you could add, a couple, who would you add from the Big 12 other than Texas and Oklahoma? Oklahoma State and
Iowa and Iowa State are the only teams that I think would be in the conversation for a college football playoff anytime soon. I mean, TCU has dropped off. Texas Tech was never really at that level except for that 1 year under Leach, which was a long time ago.
Yeah.
So I just don't know. There's a properties in there.
I mean, Baylor's kind of a decent brand.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to like there basketball-wise between Baylor and Kansas. But, again, we're getting into that. How much money are you going to be able to add to your TV deals based on what these teams are bringing in, and how many teams are going to have to do that to get that extra money? Because it's going to be, you know, too many teams with their hands in the pot.
Right.
To make it financially worthwhile. So it's interesting, though, but apparently the Big 12 has decided to play hardball. Like Tom Petty said, they're going to go down swinging. Take your best swing, Bowlesby, on the way out the door. I hate it for you.
God bless them.
They did get done dirty. But
that's the nature of the beast these days in major college football. So, you should have known something like this could be coming down the pipe.
Well, and maybe their fatal mistake was standing pat at 10. You're in the Big 12 with 10 teams in it. And I don't know who they could have gotten to strengthen it a little bit, but it's pretty obvious that Oklahoma and Texas never had any intention of staying around past 2025. I don't think they have any intention of staying past this year, quite frankly.
No, I'll tell you where you can go back to that really spelled the end for them was when they lost Nebraska and Missouri.
Yeah.
Especially Nebraska. And, you know, maybe Colorado for that matter, sure. too.
Sure. Yeah. I mean,
it took away a lot of marquee matchups and attractive, you know, TV games.
Bringing in TCU, you know, that was always kind of it makes sense. They're in Fort Worth. That's a big TV market and everything, but they've never really been looked at as a college football power. Although they're a nice program, man. They've been better than us for a long time. But, that league has been too Texas heavy, and it's just, it's not going to be around much longer. They're struggling to hold on. Let's bounce back to basketball here for a second. The SEC released each school's conference opponents for the upcoming 2021-2022 season today, and 18 game league schedule. Again, Tennessee's home slate this year features games against Arkansas, Auburn, Florida, Kentucky, LSU, Ole Miss, South Carolina, Texas A&M, and Vandy. Those are your nine home games. Road games include Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Kentucky, LSU, Mississippi State, Missouri, South Carolina, and Vanderbilt. So you've got your three permanent home and home opponents. We play Kentucky, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, home and home every year.
Okay.
And then you're adding the two teams that are rotating that you play home and home this year will be Arkansas and LSU, two of the better teams in the league. That's nice.
But now, correct me if I'm wrong. Are we playing Auburn?
Yes, in Knoxville.
But it's not a home and home this year.
No.
I wonder if Rick's going to be able to shake the Bruce monkey off his back this year. Man.
Brutal.
God, I hate losing to him, Russ. So I'm going to deal with Jamie and Phil and the rest of the Bruce sheep.
Yeah. League's going to be good this year, man. League's going to be good this year. You know, Arkansas is going to be really good. You know, LSU is going to be good. I know they lost their guys and they're in turmoil and all that stuff, but coach, man.
Yeah. Alabama's going to be good. They're bringing what's the kid's name? Their leading scorer back.
Yeah. Got to play that one on the road.
Yeah, in a gym where we never play good down there for whatever reason. They've kind of always had our number in basketball. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, when I can't remember who it was, they decided to improve the SEC's basketball play, and this is what you've got. You've got a lot of teams that are capable of beating each other. I mean, the level of play is just incredible now compared to 20 years ago in the league. It was always just kind of Kentucky and, you know, a couple other teams, and now legit, we roll, what do you say, 6-7 deep every year, it seems like, into the tournament.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that last year, Konzo Martin's last year at Tennessee, the league only had 3 schools out of 14 make the tournament. It was us, Florida, and Kentucky were the only 3 teams out of 14 teams. And now, yeah, I mean, it's pretty stacked. I mean, that was one of the last big pushes from Mike Slive. Yeah, he demanded that invest in the coaches. He said, look, stop building these arenas and everything. It's nice, but go out there and hire coaches. And Auburn certainly did.
Tennessee obviously did. We have a Hall of Fame coach. Kentucky. Alabama seems to have finally gotten it right.
Oh, yeah.
LSU.
South Carolina's tailed off, but Frank Martin take Gamecocks to a Final Four. Tom Crean is a big name at Georgia. Florida has had staying power, obviously. LSU has jumped back into the big time under Will Wade. So, there's definitely a commitment there. So, we just know the opponents now won't know the actual dates and conference and TV matchups, all tip-off times, all that until a later date. But those are the opponents, and we kind of know now where Tennessee's at. You've got Texas Tech, Memphis on the schedule.
Is this year we play them at Bridgestone?
Yes.
Awesome.
Was supposed to be last year.
Hopefully we can get down there for that. I'd really like to go see him play at Bridgestone. Seems like that'd be a fun trip.
Mike on Twitter says, Russ, we hardly have a football player who can sprint 20 miles per hour. Okay, Mike, I got you. I got you. I get it. We woefully overestimated the ability of people to swim fast. Never said math was the strong suit here. Never claimed that. Sorry. Let's go back to the phone. Shane is up next. Good afternoon, Shane.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, it's going well. Thank you.
I just had a quick question about what y'all thought about if Texas could get into the SEC soon enough to play Rick Barnes in basketball.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's another game that's scheduled. We're supposed to play them in Austin this year as part of the SEC Big 12 Challenge. So I think we're playing them this year. And
okay, so we didn't have
again,
to play that.
I think that Texas will be after this coming school year, we'll be in the SEC. I mean, that's kind of what I think their plan is just to sit back and watch the Big 12 fold and dissolve and to be free to join the SEC immediately.
I agree. I think that's going to happen too. I didn't know we were going to play Texas. We usually play Kansas every dang year when we do that Big 12 thing. So
yeah,
I just figured it'd be an interesting little side note for them joining the SEC is Rick Barnes going up against Texas every year now.
Yep, and I mean, they're going to be – we talked about it with Aaron Torres yesterday. I mean, certainly we all know what they're bringing in football, but Oklahoma and Texas both have new coaches. You got Chris Beard at Texas, who's been to a Final Four, and then the guy – Oklahoma hired the guy from Loyola Chicago, who's been to a Final Four. So, I mean, they're going to come in here. I'd imagine
it makes
those would
the
be
SEC
basketball programs
extremely tough in football, and I think it'll also add to the basketball side of things, which isn't really, understandably, but I haven't heard a lot of talk about the basketball side, but y'all have a good day.
Thank you, Shane. Appreciate the phone call. 865-546-8200. If you want to follow Shane on the show this afternoon, 546-8200. I hope I hope all these guys pump the brakes here a little bit. I know some people say the floodgates are open. Just pump the brakes, man. There's no need to rush out. And there's no big fish the size of Oklahoma and Texas out there.
Well, no, and I think that's why Sankey moved as quick as he did, was those were really the only two the two biggest. And after that, there's a huge drop-off. And I think that probably played into why he went out and went after him.
If you're Kansas, and it's a different mentality, right? Because they're like Kentucky. Basketball takes precedence over football. If you're Kansas, you're a Kansas fan, where do you want to go at this point? Because you know the Big 12, as there's nothing they could really do to keep that thing viable. Do you rather go to the Pac-12, Big 10? You call the ACC? Where do you go if you're the Jayhawks? What's your preference?
Probably the Big 10. Simply because they've got the basketball. Just the history and prestige.
It would have seemed like a bad idea, I would say, until Nebraska has kind of broken that barrier down a little bit. 10, 15 years ago, before Nebraska joined that league, I would have said that looks silly, not a good idea. Don't think that's a good fit. I still don't think it's a great fit, but having Nebraska in there kind of, from a geographical standpoint, yeah, I could see that. But there was some – I was reading some report that said that Kansas and Iowa State had reached out to the Big Ten, and the Big Ten was not exactly queuing up the welcome wagon.
For Kansas?
Yeah.
Wow.
I guess it just gets back to football TV revenue, and Jayhawks are not going to bring very much in there. And I don't think the Big Ten, you want to keep it an even number, I would think. So I don't think that, not just going to add one school. Who are you going to get that's going to add? It's the same thing we were just talking about, the Pac-12, man. You're looking for ways to add money, your football, your TV deals. And there's just not a lot of attractive options out there that aren't already in other power conferences. And that's where you get into, oh, man, could we steal a Clemson, a Florida State? Would Michigan, Ohio State be willing to leave the Big Ten? Probably not. Just not a lot of options for those leagues out there. Stay with us. The drive continues. We'll be back to wrap things up. Final segment here if you want to jump in, 865-546-8200, your number to get up with us this afternoon, 546-8200. If you want to jump in, one final segment, the shocking conclusion of the drive coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio. Back here with you on the Drive Fan Run Radio, final segment of the show, wrapping up a Wednesday afternoon. We are 1 week away from the open of fall camp. Volunteers reporting to practice 1 week from today. Bear, are you excited? Can you feel it?
A little bit. It takes a minute for me to get my motor revved up and running.
Barometer still at 6-6.
Yeah, we've just had too much attrition. The barometer finally had to get just a much needed dose of reality.
Well, that's scary to me. I mean, I hope it's reality because the barometer usually trends at roughly 2.5 wins higher than we actually end up with. And if we're headed towards a 4-8 season, I don't know if I can do that.
Oh, no, we're not doing 4-8. I'm just, you know, not getting caught up in my emotions this time and all my feels. I think we've got a solid, if things fall right, 6-6, maybe 7-5. Could be 8-4.
I'll say this. It probably is the easiest schedule that any coach has had in his first season in a long time.
That's completely accurate. I mean, if we had any kind of – if we weren't going through what we're going through, I think we'd all probably be saying, you know, this has all the makings of a 9-3 or a 10-2 maybe.
Well, the one thing that I think Coach Fulmer got right during his short tenure as AD here was we were fortunate to have him fighting for us. And when they redid the schedules 2 or 3 years ago and moving Georgia to November, which we still haven't seen, right? I mean, we thought we were going to have that last year. This is the first year we're actually going to see that. Georgia comes here in November, which, you know, usually that has been an late September, early October game.
Right.
So now all of a sudden that's kind of it's probably going to be a cold weather game. It's probably going to have that, you know, Kentucky weather type vibe to it going forward.
It could end up being just a really cold, raw day. I'm still kind of disappointed. I wanted Florida at the end of the schedule where they'd have to come up here and play in some weather.
Like last year?
When did we play them last year?
Last game of the season, wasn't it? Or no, it was.
No, it was A&M, wasn't it?
It was in November. We played them.
It was A&M because the A&M game had gotten rescheduled. Yeah. Florida was supposed to be the last game, but
that's right.
Thanks to COVID, got rescheduled.
Yeah, the A&M game—that's that big article from Trey dropped, wasn't it?
But I think that it's. That's the one thing Coach Fulmer busted up that October gauntlet that was just. Killing
it. Brutal.
Yeah.
The one where we go Florida, Georgia,
Alabama. You know, some of
A&M, Alabama.
Yeah, that was rough. And he broke that up now. So you've got those. I mean, that shouldn't be a problem anymore. Like, if we can get out of our own way, the schedule should not be any more difficult. Of course, I guess we're getting set to tear all that up anyway again.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We are with Texas and Oklahoma. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how that's going to shake out. Especially, you think they're going to be in next year?
Yeah, I do. And it's just a matter of are they going to go pods or are they going to go division? You talk to some people, they think they're going to go pods. You talk to others, they think it's going to be 2 8-team divisions. And even within those formats, there are different options where it could be. You know, if they go 2 8-team divisions, you could have – you play your 7 divisional opponents every year and then 2 rotators from the other thing. You could have 1 permanent opponent from the other division and 1 rotator. You could do a situation where you don't play everybody in your own division every year and you mix it up a little bit more. I don't know. You're getting to the point now, 16 teams, where there's just no real way to make it equitable – to make it consistent. And, you know, again, it's just sport is devouring itself right before our very eyes. So I don't think that there are any real good solutions to the scheduling. All I know is we're probably going to end up with Texas, Oklahoma, Alabama, Auburn, Georgia, Florida, LSU, all on the schedule that first year.
I mean, I could see it happening.
We finally get the schedule thing straightened out to where we're not playing a murderer's row right in the middle of the season. And we rip it up after 1 year.
That'd be, yeah.
Go figure.
Tennessee.
Go figure. Wrapping up, most ridiculous item of the day, a Florida man washed ashore inside a bubble-like vessel this past weekend on Saturday morning after an apparent attempt to walk on water.
Yeah, I saw that.
County deputy, did you see the device that he was in?
Yeah, he was planning on walking from like Florida to New York on the water.
It actually looked kind of cool.
Yeah, it did. It just not only did it not work, I think he ended up 30 miles south from where he started. He didn't make it north at all.
If he had set his sights a little bit lower, like, hey, I want to
make it from South Carolina,
from Florida to Georgia. I just want to get across the state line to this thing. It would have been pretty cool, but did he have a place to like keep food in that thing? Did he have a cooler in that thing?
I'm not sure how that thing worked. I've yet to see like anybody shown the inside of it or anything.
It looks like that thing. Remember when you go to the circus, you're a little kid and they had that big metal ball with the motorcyclers would go through it.
Yeah, it looked kind of like that.
A cylindrical version of that with a bunch of floaties.
Yeah.
On the outside. Flagler County deputies responded to calls from concerned citizens who spotted a strange vessel on the beach in the hammock area. The vessel's sole occupant was discovered safe inside without any injuries. He told authorities he had set off for New York from St. Augustine before encountering, quote, complications that brought him back to shore. The seafarer, identified as Reza Bolucci of Central Florida, told Fox 35 Orlando he was attempting to run his floating bubble vessel from Florida to Bermuda or travel north up the coast to raise money for charity.
Yeah, I can't believe it didn't work out for him.
Yeah, I mean, did this guy tell anybody what his plan was, where he was going?
I think so, because I saw him on TV about it before. Excuse me. Good Lord. Before it didn't work. Like, I saw him on, like, one of the news channels. They did a short thing on him.
Yeah, it looks more like a hamster wheel. That would have been a better analogy than the circus motorcycle ball thing.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was, kind of. But I don't know how well those things work on water, much less in the open ocean.
Well, it's neat, right? Because I see what he's thinking, because it's like a hamster wheel, and he walks on it, and it rotates, right? And then on the outside, he's got these floats, this series of floats that keep it floating, and they've got paddles on it. So it's almost like a combination of a hamster wheel and that big thing on the paddle thing on the end of a steamboat, right?
Yeah.
Like, theoretically, this is good, but I just think he's not figuring in ocean currents and wind and storms and a whole host of other things that make that really difficult.
Yeah, he definitely did not think it through.
No, not well enough anyway. All right, I'm told there's no overtime tonight.
That's a bummer.
It's an outrage is what it is. Get young William on the phone. Tell him to get his rear end down here. Do a show. What does he think this is? Amateur hour? Come on, man. Too hot outside? We're out here banging through it on a Wednesday afternoon at Old Ben Franklin Motors. Old Ben Franklin Motors, want to thank them for having us out here this afternoon. It has been fantastic. Come on down. The summer sales event continues right now. We have folks all over the lot checking out these rides, man. A lot of fantastic cars on the lot here at Old Ben Franklin Motors. Let's get Roger in here for our final call of the evening. Hello, Roger. You're on the drive here on Fan Run Radio.
Hey, Russell. Hey, Bear. How y'all doing tonight?
Doing pretty good, Rog.
Well, good. Hey, Russell. Real quick, I just want to comment on your question earlier about the would you said earlier you question you wanted to know is from fans is would you would either have a bulb in or have other thing you're talking about, my answer to that question is I'd rather go to a ball game because this is Josh Hopper's first year and also the players that come back, you want them to be able to play. So I would choose a I would choose either to have a scholarship not having a concussion, you'll go to, you know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying?
You would rather go to a, you would rather go to a bowl game, Raj?
Yeah, because Josh Hopper first year, and also because the players are coming back from last year.
Raj just loves him some college football, Bear. He just wants to see if he's got a choice between 13 Tennessee games and 12, he's taking 13 all day long.
Yeah, because he goes to the bowl game. It's going to involve a watch party where he can go and stuff his face. Right, Raj? Tell the truth. I know
hand. No, I'm serious about it. No, I want the player to be able to, want him back to be able to play, longer.
Yeah. Hey, Roger, I need your help with something, buddy.
Okay, what's that, buddy? What's that?
Today is Russell's 43rd birthday. Let's sing happy birthday to him.
Oh, really? Is your birthday, Russell? Really? Birthday?
41, Raj, 41. Well, really? Right? What are you trying to tack on a couple of years here, Bear? What are you doing to me?
Happy birthday to you, Russell. Happy birthday to you, buddy.
Sing happy birthday to him, Raj.
Sing me a tune, Raj.
All right. All right. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Russell. Happy birthday to you today or tonight now. Happy birthday to you, Russell. To you. I'm glad to call in now, Russell. I was baiting on the call, so I'm glad now. I went with your birthday. I'm glad I called in on your birthday. Did you have your birthday? Russell?
So far, so good. I mean, I get to do the show at Old Ben Franklin Motors today, so I mean that kind of sums it all up. I mean, it's been fantastic. My wife's making my favorite dinner, spaghetti and meat sauce. I got a chocolate cake waiting on me at home. Yeah, things are going well, Raj.
Well, good. Well, how about tell you? You have a good night. You have your birthday. Okay, with both of them now, okay? Tonight.
You too, Raj. Thanks, man. Appreciate you.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Hey, Russ.
That was special. Yes.
You going to save a piece of that chocolate cake for me?
No. All right. Thank you, Bear. Thank you, Jake Miller.
You are a complete ass.
Thank you, River.
You're still mad about me eating the birthday cake my mom made for you, aren't you?
No, I just I got 3 mouths to share with at home. I'm not inviting Bear into this. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us. Big thanks to Old Ben Franklin Motors. Big thanks to Jets Pizza for their help with the show here this afternoon. We are going to go ahead and skedaddle. Something else coming up next. We'll be doing it again tomorrow, 3 to 6, right here on Fan Run Radio.
You know, as far as, you know, they're
it has
making
to be
concessions.
Right. It has to be a give and take because if you're an organization, you just can't roll over, even for a great player like that.
To get the rest of what the Odd Couple said, podcast it by searching Odd Couple. And as always, you can listen to The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio. This is The Herd.
The winner in this is also
Colin Cowherd.
This morning, the Packers, they're going to go get Randall Cobb. I had a general manager